We ready to sit a little longer yet today? Yeah, we're going to sit a little bit more. It's going to be okay to do that. But I want to pray with us this morning. Let us just bow for another word of prayer. Well, Lord, would you make this our song, How Great Thou Art? Would that become our song? Lord, we confess that we're prone to sing a different song. We're prone to sing a song about how great things are. We worship celebrities, we esteem our sports teams, we adore our entertainment, we stand in awe of science, we pay tribute to innovation, we revere accomplishments, and we worship self. And so easily we forget, Lord, how great Thou art. Our God, would you, Holy Spirit, effect in us a reformation of our allegiances, a reformation of our loyalties, a reformation of our devotion, a reformation of our whole being, so that we may say with the Apostle Paul, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, for him and through him and to him are all things, to him be glory forever. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to read a passage to you this morning. One of the most encouraging passages from the scriptures, which we find in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Which really is a passage that summarizes some of our greatest blessings. And I want to encourage you to keep coming back to this passage. Let's just read it. Allow me to read it to you this morning. It says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Isn't that true? Has he blessed you? Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption. Now, the word here, predestined, means to mark out. It refers here to God's loving plan to adopt sons and daughters who are totally undeserving because of their sin, but on whom God has decided to have mercy, and he decides to take pity on them and to clean them up and to clothe them with his righteousness and give them a new identity in his Son, Jesus Christ, and bring them to his banqueting table to enjoy every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places through what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. That's incredible, incredible blessing. In love, he predestined, verse 5, us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved in Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he has set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him also you, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. We're going to come back to that phrase. But on these Sundays, we have been thinking together about the Reformation, an appropriate theme in light of the 500-year anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And looking back, some Sundays ago, we first considered our own need for Reformation. Two Sundays ago, Pastor Brent spoke to us about the road to Reformation. And last Sunday, we looked at the principles of the Reformation. The principles of the Reformation, in particular, the five solas. If you were here, you might remember them. The five solas, and these are really a summary of the gospel, a summary of the good news as it is related to us in the Bible. So these five really are biblical summaries that are essential to biblical faith, as we said last week. And the first one, or one of them, as you may remember, is sola scriptura. Scripture alone, which emphasizes simply that the Bible alone is our ultimate authority. Secondly, solus Christus, Christ alone, which emphasizes that Jesus alone and his sacrifice on the cross provide the only means by which it is possible for us to come to God the Father. Then we talked about sola gratia, grace alone, which emphasizes that God is the sole architect of our salvation. We don't merit salvation. We don't earn it. We don't contribute to our salvation. It is all but by grace. It is God's doing from start to finish. Sola fide, faith alone, which emphasizes salvation as a free gift. We are saved. We are justified. We are made right with God. Through faith alone, apart from any good works that we do. We cannot earn, nor do we deserve right standing with God. We may simply receive it as a gift through faith. And I want to ask us at this point, why in the world did God do all of this? Why did God do all of this? Why Christ alone? Why did God send Jesus Christ to be a sacrifice for our sin, to provide a way so that we could come to God? Why did he do that? Why would God provide a way in which, verse 7, as we read, we would have redemption through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of all of our sins, our trespasses, according to his grace? Why grace alone? Why did God devise a plan to verse 5, predestine us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Us, undeserving sinners, adopted into his family as sons and daughters. Why would he do that? And why through faith alone? Verse 13, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in him. Not you didn't work for anything, you didn't earn anything, you didn't fulfill any requirements. No, you believed in him. You simply believed by faith. That's all that is required. Why did God provide all these incredible, incredible blessings for us? And this brings us to the fifth principle of the Reformation. Soli Deo Gloria, God's glory alone. God's glory alone. And this fifth principle of the Reformation really ties together the essence of the Reformation in the sense of what had been lost and what was so desperately in need of being recovered. What was needed to be recovered was a vision of the glory of God. A vision of the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 1. Why did God bestow upon us all these blessings? The answer is found in verse 12. So that we might be to the praise of his glory. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace. Verse 14, to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. Let's try and put all of this together for a moment. You have the character of God, who God is. who God is in his holiness, in his majesty, in his justice, in his righteousness, in his love for us, in his mercy. And then we look at not only the character of God and who God is, but we look at what God has done, God's actions, beginning with creation and giving us physical life and breath and creating us in the image of God, and then add in God's plan of salvation, giving us not only physical life and breath, but giving us spiritual life, giving us eternal life through Christ alone, initiated and executed by God's grace alone, a gift which is received not by merit, but by faith alone, all of which is revealed to us in the gospel, written down for us in the word of God alone. And you add it all up, and in the end, who receives the credit for it all? Who is the person who must be honored and magnified and exalted and praised and glorified forever? It's God. It's our King. It's our Heavenly Father. How great thou art. We sang it. Thus I shall be to the praise of his glory. Because of how great he is. Because of what he does. Because of what he has done. And that, friends, is our purpose. And that's why this fifth piece is so important. Glory to God alone. This is our purpose. This is why we're here. And listen, whenever we lose a vision for the glory of God, and we are enticed to pursue our own glory, we are enticed to pursue and build our own kingdoms and our own honor, when our self-interest takes over, and our interest is really more in self than in God, in self-gratification, in self-realization, in self-seeking, then we lose our way. We lose our way as the church had lost its way, and we are heading down a road that leads to destruction, that leads to frustration. And what we see in history, thankfully, what we see in history is that God, because he is merciful, because he is gracious, because he is kind, because he loves his creation, God, throughout history, he raises up people. He raises up people again and again to bring about reformation, to make crooked paths straight. That's the meaning, really, of the word reformation, to make crooked paths straight and to recover what has been lost, pointing us back to the truth of the gospel again and again, to the glory of God. And you know, we have to be careful. We must be so very careful that we keep coming back to recovering a vision for the glory of God. We remember that this is why we're here. This is what life is all about. That we live our lives to the glory of God. You know, and it can be so subtle to depart from that. We can easily lose that vision. For example, many of us have grown up in the church with this understanding that when it comes to my salvation, when it comes to God does his part and I do my part. Have you grown up with that kind of belief? God does his part, I do my. It's kind of a 50-50 arrangement. Have you grown up with that understanding? God sends Jesus, yes, but I say the right kind of prayer. I make sure that I get baptized. I do all the right things a Christian should do, and then I'm worthy to be part of God's family. No, friends, it's not what the Bible teaches. It's not God's work plus my work. It's all God's work. Amen? It's all God's work. It's God's grace alone from start to finish. So that no one may boast, Paul says in Ephesians 2:9. You see, so that all the glory goes to our God and King. All of it. So that none of us will stand before God one day and say, but I get a little bit of credit. All the glory goes to God. For God will share his glory with no one. And the Reformation has certainly recovered a vision for the glory of God alone. And we as the people of Grace Baptist Church want to keep on the forefront of our hearts and our minds a vision for the glory of God. Amen? I mean, don't we need to keep reminding each other that this is what it's about? We're not here for ourselves. We're here to live our lives for the glory of God alone. And, to help remind us, we've printed something on the front of our bulletin cover, if you have one of those, to help remind ourselves, call it a purpose statement if you want to, but here's what it says. Grace Baptist Church exists to bring glory to God. Would you agree with that statement? Is that what we're about? Is that why we're here? Is that what we want to communicate? Is that what we want to live as the people of Grace Baptist Church? We are here, we exist simply to do this, to live to the praise of God's glory. We exist to bring glory to God, which is really impossible unless we are a people who have been transformed, right? And we're not just going to pull this off. We need to be transformed first. We need to be a people who have been transformed by the gospel. As it says in verse 12, we read it in Ephesians 1, we are a people who have come to put their hope in Christ, verse 12, a people who had heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and believed in him, in Christ, verse 13, and were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That needs to take place in our lives so that we then can live to the praise of his glory. For then we are primed to live our lives to bring glory to God. But what does that mean? What does that really mean? And I don't want to pretend that we're going to answer that question this morning because we don't have time to do that. But I want us to start thinking about what does it mean to live to the praise of his glory? What does it mean to exist, to solely exist for this one purpose, to bring glory to God? What does it mean, soli Deo gloria, God's glory alone? You see, for a lot of people, this is like theological language, theological concepts that are somewhere out there. But it's not just a theological exercise to be talking about the glory of God. These five solas here that we looked at, even last Sunday, they aren't just of value to professors of religion or history or philosophy as they sit in their ivory towers and they may deliberate and debate about these things. These solas are summaries of the essentials of our faith. These are summaries of the essential beliefs of biblical faith, that if they are believed, they will work themselves into our lives and they will work themselves out of our lives in daily existence. Because what we believe really matters. What we believe in our hearts really does matter. What we believe ultimately is a very practical thing, because what we truly believe affects the way in which we live our daily lives. You know, I said a few weeks back, if you don't live it, you don't believe it. Think about it. Is that true? If you're not living it, you really don't believe it. You may say that you believe it, but if it doesn't show, you don't really believe it. It has to show. There will be results in your life. If you don't live it, you don't believe it. So let me ask you this. Do you believe that this is our purpose, to be about the glory of God? Is this our purpose? Is this your personal purpose statement for life? Soli Deo Gloria, God's glory alone. You exist to bring glory to God. Your ultimate goal in everything you do is to live to the praise of the glory of God. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And again, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do it all. Do it all to the glory of God. How do we do this? How do we do this? The question is too big to unpack this morning, but we'll keep coming back to it. But let me briefly walk you just through this page of our bulletin as we've printed it out for you here. Grace Baptist Church exists to bring glory to God through lives transformed by the gospel. As we do what? As we follow Jesus. Right? As we, if there's one person who lived his life with this one ultimate goal in everything that he did and said and thought, it was Jesus, wasn't it? John 17:4, what does Jesus say? He prays to his Father and he says, I glorified you while I was on earth. It was Christ's mission. Yes, his mission was to come and die on the cross for the sins of the world. But ultimately, the umbrella purpose of Jesus while he was here on earth was to glorify the Father. And so if we are serious about fulfilling the purpose of why we are here, then we need to follow Jesus because he's the example. He's the one who showed us how it's done. Because his purpose on earth was, in fact, to glorify the Father. And he fulfilled it perfectly. And so the way in which we live our lives to the praise of God's glory, soli Deo Gloria, God's glory alone, we don't just go home now and we make a long list, a long to-do list of all the stuff that we should be doing as good Christians, but instead of that, we become apprentices, disciples of Jesus. We reorient our lives on the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because how can we call him Lord? How can we call Jesus Lord and we don't do what he says? And so we study the life of Jesus. We learn what he says in his word. We train, we practice, we discipline ourselves as disciples of Jesus, as learners under God's word, as we put it here. As learners under God's word who commit their lives to this process of becoming more and more like their Lord, more and more like Jesus. But you know, it's even more than learning. It's more than reading. It's more than studying. Our entire life as a disciple of Jesus, our entire life is to be caught up in the life of Jesus. Not just studying him from a distance, but knowing him, communing with him, walking daily with him, inviting Jesus again and again to equip us and to empower us to live his life through us, which is the most exciting, most purposeful way to live life. There's no better life. And why wouldn't we want to be a disciple like that after all that God has done for us? All the blessings he's given to us. And then to gain a bit more of a sense of what it means to follow Jesus together as his disciples, as learners under God's word who are in process of becoming like him, we do so in the knowledge that we have been changed by the gospel. The Holy Spirit has made us into a new creation. When we came to faith, we were born again and were adopted. We read about that. We were adopted into the family of God as sons and daughters, as we have seen in Ephesians 1:5. And now we follow this Jesus as disciples, but not just as disciples, but as part of his family. We're now part of the family of God. We're members of his family. J.I. Packer, he once said this, he said, if you want to judge how well someone understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. Does this thought, you are a child of God through Jesus, does that thought still blow us out of the water? I mean, does that bring tears of joy to our eyes? Does that make our hearts skip a beat? It's incredible. So incredible, there's no way to even explain it and express it. Child of the Father, part of his family. You see, this gets at our true identity in Christ. This is who we are, children of God, family members of the household of God. We find our true identity not first in being a mom, or a dad, or a teacher, or a homemaker, or a plumber, or a doctor, or a student, or a husband, or a wife, or a pastor, or a missionary. I am first a son, I am first a daughter of God, and thus part of the rest of his family, because we share the same father, and thus we relate to one another in a certain way, as brother, as sister, as children of God who are part of the same family, we care for each other, right? We care for each other as family, as we put it here. Care for each other as family. And as servants of Jesus, we serve him by serving others. Because Matthew 20:28, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus showed his disciples what that means. So we too are called as disciples of Jesus to be servants. This is what a disciple of Jesus is. It's not just what we do, that's who we are. It's part of what it means to live to the praise of his glory. And then lastly, we are also witnesses, right? We are sent ones. Jesus says in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. We're sent out. We are ambassadors for Christ, as Paul calls us in 2 Corinthians 5, we've been entrusted with this message of reconciliation, sent in the power of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel, the message of the good news that men and women and children everywhere can be reconciled to God, they can come into the family of God by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone. Incredible. Witnessing, serving, caring as family, learning as disciples. And you see, we don't just do those things. We don't just make lists about how I have to serve this week in order to please God. No. I don't think that's what it's about. Bringing glory to God is most effectively lived as we become those people. As we become those, where it becomes an overflow, an outflow of what the Lord has done in us. We don't have to think much about it. We just do it because of who we are. It's our identity. We are disciples. We're family. We're servants. We're witnesses. And as we find our true identity in Christ Jesus, as a people transformed by the gospel, with a recovered vision for their true purpose as to why we are here, we exist to bring glory to God because of who God is, because of all that he's done for us in blessing us, because of how great thou art. That's why I want to live to the praise of his glory. I don't always do it. I don't always do it well. We fall and we falter and we pick ourselves up again. But at the end of the day, isn't that what we want to return to again and again? Want to be to the praise of His glory. There's no better life, there's no better pursuit, there's no worthier goal than this. To know that I exist for this purpose, to bring glory to my God and Father. I'm going to be talking more about this, but I want us to think about this question as you leave from here. What is it that you're living for? We can get so tangled up in this life and all its distractions. If we could only whittle it down to one purpose, to one goal. What is it that we're living for? What is your purpose? What is it that you're pursuing in your life? Is it clear in your heart, in your mind? Can you define it? Is it evident in the way in which you live? Can other people tell what your purpose is when they watch you? Here's what God calls us to. Not because He needs us or because He's dependent on us for His own happiness. God is completely sufficient in Himself within the Trinity. He doesn't need us, but in love He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. He chose us, He adopted us, and He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And if we believe it, then we will live it. Not perfectly, but we will pursue it. We will make it our ambition, our mission, to be to the praise of His glory. Soli Deo Gloria, God's glory alone. We exist to bring glory to God because of how great He is. How great Thou art. Can we end our service by singing one more stanza of this song, How Great Thou Art? You know that the third one that's talks about Jesus. Why don't we stand together? Let's sing one more song, one more stanza. This is a great song. The chorus is great. We need to be sent off with this. But when I think His Son not sparing, if you can pull that one up. Let's stand, let's sing that, let's make that our closing prayer today, shall we? Let's sing. Just a third one. Yeah. Third.